I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And we're very happy to welcome someone to our studios that have you been in here before, Luke? Oh, hang on. I got to turn your microphones on. There we go. Have you been here in here before?
One time, but not for an interview. I think I was dropping off a CD or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Never made it back this far yet.
All right. Well, so it's a pleasure to have you on our airwaves. I know I've seen your name and I've seen your albums and things come through. So I was like, I don't think we've had them in, but we might have. Well, welcome. Great to have you here.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And you are performing a live stream tonight at 6:30 from 2104.
I am.
Do I have all that right?
You do.
And it's part of the Duluth Dylan Festival. And you have a fun history with Dylan festivals.
I do.
How old were you when you won the songwriter contest for the Hibbing Festival?
I was 13 years old. And yeah, my like dad and I had heard through the grapevine about this Dylan Fest, the Zimmies. Bob Dylan, it's always a tongue twister. The Zimmies Bob Dylan singer songwriter competition. And, we made our way up and, I had written this song. You play one original song and then one Bob Dylan song. And, I was lucky to win the contest with it.
I need to know more about that, but I'm going to have you start with a song first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's just such a great story. What do you want to start with? And because it is Duluth Dylan Fest this week, so what do you want to start with?
Yeah, that's fair enough. I'm going to start with an older tune of mine, actually. And it's a song of mine that I wrote. I actually wrote it not long after I did that Dylan Fest, or the Zimmy singer-songwriter competition. And it's a song called Duluth Grandma.
Duluth Grandma?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I'm gonna let you talk for a second while I throw this harmonica.
All right, he's putting the rack on. Obviously a Bob Dylan fan if you've got the harmonica. I don't know if that's a prerequisite, but... and again, it's Luke LeBlanc joining us here in the studio for our Live from Studio A session today. And I should also mention you have a new album coming out in July. We'll talk about that more, too. And you got to work with Eric Koskinen.
Yes.
Which, amazing. So we'll talk about all of that.
Good. Well, this one's based on a true story. We got a family friend in Duluth named Harvey. And he used to have a great aunt who he called his grandma. And she was in her 90s, and she liked to smoke Pall Malls every day and drink her scotch. And he'd always tell us about when he went to visit her, and he'd always catch her smoking cigarettes in the apartment but blowing it out the bathroom window so she wouldn't get caught. Anyways, this one's called Duluth Grandma. Sunday evening, I try to remember the weekdays that have passed me by. It won't stop till the end of December, and it'll carry on by New Year's time. Looking out through that unclean window, I see the world drenched to the bone. And I know my umbrella can't save it from the storm yet to come. And Grandma's drinking scotch at the table, puffing down Pall Malls one at a time. Oh, broken hearts and dreary days don't faze me, but the rain gets me all of the time. As the rain drops on the nose from somewhere in the sky, oh, I know somewhere out there, even God
must ask why. And as I walk back to my shelter from everything unfamiliar to me, I take a look back to the sky, something that I never seemed to see. Grandma's drinking scotch at the table, puffing down Pall Malls one at a time. Yeah, broken hearts, dreary days don't faze me, but the rain gets me all of the time. Grandma's drinking scotch at the table, puffing down Pall Malls one at a time. Broken hearts, dreary days don't faze me, but the rain gets me all of the time. Yeah, the rain gets me all of the time. Yeah, the rain gets me.
That is Luke LeBlanc live from Studio A, and a tune not from this latest album, but you said it was an older one?
Yeah, that was an older one. I like to sing it whenever I come to Duluth.
Yeah, did you ever get to meet the Duluth grandma?
No, I never did. It was
she sounds fantastic.
She was, and I heard she was fantastic. I never got to meet her in person. It was in the works, but she unfortunately passed away before that was able to happen. But she inspired a song, and that's a cool thing for a person to do in their lifetime, right?
It is. That's very sweet. I'm sure your friend likes that you did that.
I think so.
So you must have started playing music pretty young if you were winning songwriting contests at 13. And you were originally from Minneapolis, is that right?
Yes, I am. Yep, originally from Minneapolis.
Have you ever lived anywhere else? Or
After I graduated college, I lived in Nashville for about 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, doing, you know, being in the music mecca, you know, and I think anybody who plays an acoustic guitar and, you know, sings songs, at some point you're going to have 50 people tell you should move to Nashville, you know. So I moved to Nashville for a bit, and I learned a lot and met some cool people and just learned a lot about the music industry in general. And then I got to the point where I wanted to move back to Minneapolis, and so I did. But, but otherwise, yeah, I've been kind of Minneapolis, Minnesota fellow for my whole life.
And so how old were you when you started playing guitar, singing?
Yeah, I was like about 11 years old. Growing up, I mean, I always listened to music. You know, my dad's a big music fan. We'd always listen to stuff. There'd always be a tape, you know, in the truck or whatever we'd be driving in. And it always just it kind of bugged me that I could listen to the music, but I couldn't play it myself. I don't know why. It just drove me nuts. My grandpa actually happened to, he passed away when I was about 11, and I asked my grandma if I could kind of take/borrow his old guitar, and the strings were about half inch above the fretboard, so I mean it really trained your fingers into, you know, getting hurt real bad. But started learning some chords and immediately just wanted to write songs as well. I was always just eager to get to the next step and the next step, you know. I'd play the guitar, then write songs, and then, you know, about when I was 12, started, you know, going to open mics and whatnot. It was actually blues jams, because that's what a lot of open mics are. And so I'd get up and play a song with the band, or sometimes they'd let me play in between their breaks. And then, you know, heard about this Dylan Days singer-songwriter competition and went up there and did that.
And had Dylan been one of the tapes in rotation in the truck, or?
First, you know, person I was just obsessed with was Johnny Cash, and I loved that whole boom chicka boom train sound. I'd put like a dollar bill in the guitar to try to imitate it. I loved it. Then I think I got a Bob Dylan CD from somewhere, and that just opened my mind to all of his stuff. And I mean, just the way that the lyrics and the words just encompass everything else, including the music. And that opened my mind to a lot.
This was the early, like the early 2000s, first decade of the 2000s, right?
Yeah.
So by that time, Bob had quite a catalog amassed and quite a range of material. So you had a lot to...
Yes.
To absorb.
Yeah, a lot of songs. I mean, like a Rolling Stone or Knocking on Heaven's Door, I'd heard it, you know, but being a kid, I just didn't know who these songs were. And I'm like, oh my, all of this is him. And then somebody told me, you know, Judy Garland, she's from Minnesota. I said, oh, cool, The Wizard of Oz. And then someone said, Bob Dylan's also from Minnesota. And that, I think it blew my mind for a week, you know. So, no, you're right. It's a wide catalog of stuff to choose from.
Different voices, different different eras. He's done a lot in his time. So, what Dylan song did you cover when you had to pick a cover for that competition? Do you remember?
Oh yeah, no, I do. I picked Forever Young.
Oh okay.
Yeah, I really like that one, and I mean I still do. And then the other song. So you played one Bob Dylan song, and then you play a song you wrote, and the song I wrote was a song called Song to Bob, kind of a little bit of a spin on his song to Woody.
Oh, okay.
The story behind it, Election Day in 2000, I always say, yeah, Election Day in 2008, it was the night that Obama was elected. Bob Dylan was playing at the Northrop Auditorium on the University of Minnesota, Minneapolis, Twin Cities campus. And so my dad and I got this great idea. We're going to take this huge piece of cardboard and we're going to write out a giant sign. And when I say huge, it was an 8-foot-long piece of cardboard. We still have it. And it said Little Diamonds. I went by a stage name at that point, Little Diamonds. And so whatever. Luke wants to play with you tonight. Give him a chance. We knew Bob Dylan was a big Johnny Cash person, so we added P.S. Johnny Cash would be proud, signed Luke. And so we found where Dylan's tour bus was in the back of the Northrop, and we held it up, you know, for a couple hours waiting for Bob Dylan to come out. And some of his musicians, you know, came out, his drummer, and I think it was his bassist, came out, and they kind of looked at the sign and me and gave me a thumbs up, you know, good luck, hope he sees it, or whatever they meant by the thumbs up. And Dylan came out, and he walked off his tour bus, and I think kind of looked over, but he had, you know, he had other things to do, like play a concert. And so he didn't, I wasn't able to get up on stage with him that night, but it inspired the song. The whole Song to Bob song
that's amazing, and just the confidence of that at your age, and you know, it sounds like your dad is just like your biggest booster as well.
Yeah, he's probably biggest fan, biggest critic. Mm-hmm. He just you know, there for me in so many ways, and you know, helped launch me as a person and so many other things, and. He's a guy who's not scared to be him, to be Duke. His name's Duke. And so, you know, growing up it was Duke and Luke, which was kind of cool. But, and so I think I kind of learned that from him. And, you know, if you got an idea, just do the idea, you know, cause that's what makes the world go around. I think is people who are not scared to just do their idea, no matter what it looks like from the outside, I guess. So that inspired the song, Song to Bob. And I mean, there's a YouTube video of it at the singer-songwriter competition.
Oh,
if you look
great.
Up like Little Diamonds, Song to Bob, mm-hmm. It was about an 11 verse song, so I don't have it on me now.
Wow. 11 verse song. Dang. All right. Well, let's hear another song, and then we'll talk about your newer material.
Sure.
And I'm picturing an alternate universe where Bob did bring you up on stage, and what would that have looked like? But
yeah.
We'll never know.
Yeah,
we'll
true.
Never know. So what do you want to do for us next?
Well, in the spirit of Dylan Fest and everything that's going on, maybe I'll do a Bob Dylan song about the North Country.
Yeah. If you're traveling in the North Country Fair, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. For she once was a true love of mine. And if you go in the snowflake storm, when the rivers freeze and the summer ends, please see for me if she's wearing a coat so warm, to keep her from the howling wind. Wondering if she remembers me at all. Many times I've often prayed in the darkness of my night, in the brightness of my day. If you're traveling in the North Country Fair, where the wind's hitting heavy on the borderline, please see for me to one who lives there. For she once was a true love of mine. For she once was a true love of mine. For she once was a true love of mine. True love of mine. True love of mine. For she once was a true love of mine.
That is Luke LeBlanc live from Studio A. And oh man, that was really nice. Girl from the North Country. In honor of the man that we are celebrating this week, Bob Dylan. It is Duluth Dylan Festival all week long in Duluth. And you have a new album coming out in July called Only Human. And you worked with Eric Koskinen on it, who he He's amazing. I love Eric. So,
yeah.
I don't know what to say about that other than he's great. And you probably agree if you've worked with him. And how did this come about? How did you get to work with Eric?
Oh, absolutely. I've known about Eric Koskinen's music since I was like a freshman in high school. Saw him at the Astor Cafe in Minneapolis and talked to him a little bit after the show. And then he said, there's this new band and we're playing at the Cedar Cultural Center. I think it was like the next night. And so gave me a complimentary ticket. And so I got to go see Dead Man Winter the next night because he was playing, electric guitar and pedal steel and all sorts of instruments in the band. And so that was really cool. I mean, that was my first kind of introduction into, that band, but also, Eric Koskinen's music the night before at Astor. And so, throughout the years, I would send him an email every once in a while, saw you play here, great show, or like, here, I'm kind of working on this, here's a new song that came out if you want to check it out. And he'd always reply, which is super cool, because it's hard, not everybody has the time or, the ability to reply, and he was replying, and that was just really nice. And so, a couple albums and EPs and stuff later, and here I am about a year and a half ago, ready to start working on a new album. And so I reached out and asked if he'd be up to and available to produce it. And he got back to me right away and said, yeah. And so he's got his studio. It used to be in the cities, but now it's down in Cleveland, Minnesota. Beautiful studio. And went down there and we started, putting tracks together and working on the songs, and things went pretty quickly and smoothly. And then we had some other players on it, someone on keys, John Cleve Richardson. And
were these people that were just brought in for the album, or are they people that you'd played with before?
They're people that I'd played with before, for live stuff.
Nice, because as I was listening to the album is not just you and your guitar, but as you're saying, it's a full band, and it just sounds really nice with the fiddle and everything.
Yeah, there's and that's Carrie Joy on the fiddle, and she went and moved to France on me, which is too bad. But she's she's having such a great time over there, and that's awesome. And then John Cleve Richardson on the keys, and Aaron Beckers is on the drums, and Eric plays some electric guitar and pedal and a little bit of bass as well. It's got a full band sound, because there's a full band on it, and some songs, there's a couple that are more just me and the guitar, or me and the guitar and the piano, which is something that I like. Is it's got that balance. And this is kind of the first time that I've really had someone kind of coming in and fully producing it. And in my past stuff I've worked on, I've been very, in a pseudo producer role where I'm kind of trying to put everything together. And it was new for me to have someone else kind of do all that. It was a really good learning experience, and also nice to have someone to do that. I think a really cool sound that we're happy with came out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he seems like he would be a really laid back person to work with, I would think.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's one of those people that is so talented, and his music is so wonderful, and he spends so much time working with other people.
Yes.
And sharing his talents with other people, and I think that's pretty darn cool as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And so it's coming out in July. When in July?
Yeah, it's coming out July 9th, Friday, July 9th. And we've got a CD release show that's going on with that. Eric's playing guitar that night too, which is cool. It's at the Ice House in Minneapolis, Friday, July 9th, and it's at 6:30. And there's tickets available at icehouseminneapolis.com. There's pre-sale tickets and everything that are available right now, which is super cool. And then the next night, I'm going to be here in Duluth at Wusso's, July 10th.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. The time, it's in the evening. but I got to figure out the exact
time. We'll figure it out. And yeah, shoot me an email when you got to figure it out. Otherwise, we'll keep our eyes out for that that for sure. Well, that's great. And the album sounds great. I had a chance to listen to it after you sent it to me. And did you have all those songs ready to go? Did you just have a bunch of songs saved up?
I had a good amount of songs saved up. There were a lot of songs where, you know, had to go back and I had a couple songs that I knew I wanted to be on the album, then a couple where I'm like, what do I do with the rest of it? And so I went back and found some old songs either in like voice memos or old GarageBand files on my computer that I had messed with and whipped up the other ones. And there's a couple on there where I had written it the day before and it was just, you know, something that I'd written and was going to wait on it for some other time and brought it to the studio and we were trying to figure out what to record. And one of the songs wasn't going so well that we were working on and I threw like another one in that I had just written. And so a good mix of songs that were already available and songs that just kind of came up as we went along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of which is Driving, which is actually coming out tomorrow. Officially on Spotify and Apple Music and all that stuff. It's releasing tomorrow. That was one that wasn't in the plan to record. And we got into the studio one morning and Eric said, well, what do you want to work on? I said, well, I don't know. The song's kind of been in my head. And he said, let's just do it. And we didn't think about it. I kind of think a little too much. And I think it was one of the many great things about working with Eric is he knows I think too much. And he's like, just let's do it, you know. And it's good. That's a good push to have.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what do you want to finish up with here? We've got time for one more.
Yeah. Well,
do you want to do that big hit single? Or
yeah.
About to be hit single?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'll do that one. Yeah, this one's called Driving.
Driving away.
is Luc LeBlanc live from Studio A and a song from his forthcoming new album, Only Human, and the song is available tomorrow in all sorts of places, sounds like.
All the places, yeah.
All the places.
All the places.
Well, thank you so much. So just one last question. How do you feel like, you know, when you look back at that, you know, 13-year-old kid that was writing songs, like, how do you feel like you've evolved in that time as a songwriter, as a musician?
That's a good question. My voice has gotten a little deeper.
I was wondering that. I was, you know, you could have been 13 and had this voice, but.
Yeah, no, there's always that fear when you go through your early teenage years, you mm-hmm. know, like, if is your voice going to change to a detriment in a detrimental way? No, but besides that, I think like we all kind of evolve as things happen. You get other influences. You start to develop your own voice that's unique to you, and you start taking more risks and writing different stuff and adding different instruments. And I definitely feel like I've been able to do that, and with the help of others too. I love looking back at that video and going up to Dylan Days that year and playing that song. It's just, it always felt like a magical time in the moment, and it feels like a magical time looking back in the whole trip up there. It started with a flat tire. I mean, we were like, we were a half hour from the house and a flat tire on the highway. We thought we weren't even going to make it, but we got the flat tire fixed and kept on rolling, literally. And maybe that's a metaphor, I guess, for you just got to keep going, mm-hmm, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that's my long answer to your short question.
Well, I certainly enjoy the new album. I think it's really nice. And this is your first full length under the Luc LeBlanc name, right?
Like, that's correct,
you had an
yeah.
EP out before that. You were going by Little Diamonds.
Yep.
So does that feel kind of momentous in a way, or is it just kind of an extension of what, you know, your EP or?
It feels good. The EP, I really like the EP. But I think this album is added some more dimensions. I think the EP was a lot of very acoustic, and it was kind of in a certain tone. And I think this feels more like an album. And you know, you kind of go back to like, what does an album do? And an album's supposed to take you through a little bit of a journey. And I think this feels a lot more like a package that does take you through some kind of a journey. And I hope people, you know, pick it up at some point and feel the same way. But no, it does feel really good to have that album out under with my little name on the top of it. So,
well, we look forward to that release in July. Again, you mentioned you're going to be doing a release show down in the Twin Cities on July 9th, and then here in Duluth at Wusso's on July 10th. So yeah. Looking forward to that. Thank you so much, Luc. It was great to have you here.
Yes, thank you for having me as well. Appreciate it.
And again, Luc is going to be doing a live stream tonight from 2104 at 6:30 p.m., and you can find more information on that at the Duluth DylanFest.com website with all of the information about what's happening this week for Duluth Dylan Fest. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Emma Gilhausen and funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.